making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tuesday morning. Zolak and Bertrand. Beetle will be here momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard him crossing over with Touch and Rich. I think this is a monumentous occasion.
Well, Beetle's here.
No, well, he's not ready.
Yeah, he is.
No, we're going to... We got a
haircut? Look at him. There's my Beetle. How you doing, buddy?
We're going to officially welcome Scott Zolak back to the program right now.
Hey.
This is a big moment.
How you guys doing?
Hey. That flu's no joke, huh?
You missed. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Yeah. Long weekend.
Elsewhere.
No, I'm fine.
Are you contagious anymore?
No,
what did the doctor say?
When you stop having a fever, you need to be 24 hours fever free. So when you have those hot night sweats, those outbreaks, those ended Saturday night.
Well, I was going to say, according to the documentation you provided us on the program on Friday, the fever had broken. When you were at the doctor, you're at 98.8.
Well, yeah, but I took, because I woke up with a bad fever, and I took the Advil before I went in. That was like, what, 5? When I text you guys, I don't even know, 5:45, something like that.
Yeah.
It ain't happening today.
I don't remember.
So it came down, but then it comes back. That sucker, you know. It's like that dog. You know, you kick that dog out, and it's like, hey, go away, and then you feed it something on your, you know, never give a dog, you know, a bowl of milk. Or is that a cat?
Fever dog. Like,
yeah, like fever dog.
Fever dog.
The dog. And it, right. It, dog's back, honey.
Yeah.
No. Go away.
Still water.
Can't feed the dog.
Almost Famous.
Yes.
Gotcha. Fever dog.
One of my favorite movies.
Can't feed.
Saw that I could order that on Netflix. I'm telling you, dude. Fire stick. I'm going to get everybody fire sticks for Christmas. I mean,
I've already got one. Thank you.
Wow. That thing is awesome. My kids had that for 2 years.
Well, do you even need
the... I'm like, look at this. You can watch Finding Dory on here.
Do you need the Fire Stick anymore? If you have a smart TV, don't you just log on to your Amazon account
via the
smart TV?
Well, there's a certain number of modifications that I know people have made to their Amazon Fire Stick.
Jailbreak.
No. Well, his isn't a smart TV. I do have the smart TVs downstairs.
They open you up to a new world, Hardy.
I'm like, my God, I don't need cable. This is great. How do you get rid of cable, though? Then how do you not have internet?
You don't ever get rid of your Xfinity platform.
See, but
ever.
I like
ever.
That remote.
Ever.
I got
ever.
That remote, and I press it, and I'm like, hey, what's up?
Right.
Put this on.
Yes.
Put Jaws on.
Yeah.
Then it Jaws was
which
on
which you
there.
Can do on your Xfinity X1 remote.
Yes.
You can speak into it.
Never.
Right.
Get rid of that.
There's
as some,
my children do all the time.
There's some shows out
they
there.
They talk
man.
Right into that thing, and yep. It just it
Grey's Anatomy.
You can
watch all the scenes of Grey's Anatomy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Look at this show. It's about doctors and cutting people.
And I'm sure you have high-speed internet from Xfinity X1, which allowed you to stream those programs
like
as fast
people
as you
online
did.
At once. Yeah.
Of course.
Why wouldn't I?
We love our good friends at Comcast.
We sure do, man.
Love them.
Sure do.
Literally love.
Love. Love
some
everybody
of those people.
There. Hardy literally
loves
some of the people there.
He thinks they're hot. Yeah.
Yep.
Shares a bed with some of the people there.
Easy. Loves one of them so much. Took that person to Marilyn Manson last night.
Oh, how was that?
It was pretty good.
Really?
Really?
Good. It was
because
good.
You were on the fence about it.
What did he look like?
You can't say what he
how old is he
what
now?
He calls himself. Late he's
freak.
Be late 40s, mid to late 40s. Great show though. Good band, good show. I mean, it's packed, sold out.
He is 49.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's a rock and roll show.
Yeah, about the same time.
It was a straight up rock and roll show. It's good.
Nice. Good night.
Was it packed? Sold out. Yeah.
Couldn't. I mean, it was absolutely
I'm curious to know what the crowd was like.
Mostly African American women.
I'm talking about
young African American women. What do you think?
You're
a bunch of 40-year-old white dudes.
That's my question. Because
so it was a Jewish African Jewish. He was this tall.
Forget it.
African Jew. So
I know what you're talking about.
It was like a male.
Because 20 or so years ago, I saw, well, maybe a little less than that. Let's say 17, 18 years ago, seeing Marilyn Manson, everyone was like 20, 25. So are all those same people going to the show now at like 40, 45?
Yes.
That's my question.
Yes.
Or is it like a new crop of kids that go see Marilyn Manson?
No.
Definitely not.
No. Some kids.
Yeah.
And they were camped out like kind of like in the upper level there of the House of Blues, like right up against the, you know, the gate railing there. You know, the disciples, the real disciples were there or way down in front. I mean, not that I necessarily would at that show, but you couldn't even get down to the front of the stage. And we were in there like an hour before he went on. And people had packed themselves down in there to be as close as possible. It was packed. It's a good show. I was impressed.
Any moshing going on?
No,
mosh
no,
pits?
No, no.
It's not as violent anymore.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how violent Marilyn Manson used to be.
Yeah, those things get you like banned from the clubs and stuff.
You would know.
So one dude crowd surfing, they pulled him out and he was gone.
That's not our... Wait, they pulled him out and kicked him out of the show?
Well, I mean, there's signs up everywhere in the House of Blues. No crowd surfing, no...
Stupid legal things.
What do they call it? Head walking.
That's sort of sad, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't even do that anymore.
Can't.
And you'll get kicked out of the show.
Well, that's some people abused it. Some people would go up on the stage and then jump into the crowd. And, you know, it's... They abused it.
Well, it's one thing to dive. It's one thing to stage dive.
Don't do
it's another
it.
To crowd surf. You can crowd surf without stage dive.
Blame the band for that.
You blame Everclear for playing their hit song.
I tell you what, I give the people down at Gillette or whoever follows Metallica around. We went to that Metallica concert. So, you know, remember I told you Tuca was there and he went to a thing called the Snake Pit where they really let you just like throw down.
Yeah.
And it's contained and there's security everywhere and they're letting you go. And then I was with the boss and Rucker, like later in the show, just normal out, just on the field, to where you know they have these controlled mosh pits going on, where just guys are just in a big circle, and you're just lighting people up, and here comes Nikovich, and he shoulders someone, and his feet go up over his head, and the security guy let him go, man. Hey, this thing polices itself. I'm like, what do you mean polices itself? And someone pushes me in the middle. And then Rucker gets thrown in, and oh, man.
Yeah. There's an etiquette. There's a protocol. It's violent, but there are rules.
Oh, wow.
It's weird.
They all respect the game. All of them.
The boss is loving it, too. He was all bowed up. He's ready to get in. Come on, someone hit me. Someone hit me. Yeah. It was great. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, how do they let this go? And then just there's like five of these things
they just did
all at once.
Zo, before we get into some football this morning, because I know you want to talk some football.
I do. I watch. Here's another thing. Other than the 63 episodes of The Office, I went back and watched the game again three times.
Oh boy! Well, you're going to give us your reaction of watching the game again three times. I also want you to have an opportunity now to talk about John Feinstein because we will not be playing again.
He can suck it.
There is no CBS Sports minutes on this show, and I thought right now would be the appropriate time for you to vent.
And I think we've always been fair, and we've gotten yelled at for it because it was part of our programming. We never liked the CBS Sports Minute. We thought it was drab. We thought it was old. We thought it was everything that you don't want sports radio to be. It was the most irrelevant, what was it, 60 seconds of crap that we could establish any flow in a program or get any momentum at the top of the hour, like right now, and then we'd have to throw to that. Now, I like Boomer, and I like birthdays. So our first one of the day wasn't ever too bad. But when we would be jamming on something that loaded lines, and that son of a, you know what, would come on and talk about some nondescript Laker from 20 years ago, or some golf or tennis thing, you just want to punch cement. He made you want to punch cement and break bones in your hand. There's nothing worse to sports than John Feinstein. And that's everything that's wrong with sports today and the way that the journalists or anybody that wants to cover anything in sports, don't do what that guy does because he puts people to sleep. And I want to apologize to our listeners for having that thing shoved down your throat. For the last 9 years, we never loved the CBS Sports Minute. That is the biggest bunch of crap that's ever been part of our show. I'd rather come on for 60 seconds and you learn more from that from whatever that clown would ever give you. I don't care how good a writer he ever was. Keyword was past tense. Welcome to the future, John Feinstein. Get the hell out. Throw to the break.
Okay, let's do
that. I didn't mind him.
Yeah. I'm back.
I liked him.
Really? Good.
And Bertrand.
So, Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom takes the snap. He's pressured. He moves up.
He slips the rush. He steps to his right. He loads up. He throws deep downfield. Gronk is there at the goal line. Ball is up in the air. Batted around. And it's incomplete. And the Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time in their history, are Super Bowl champions.
And you look for Hardy's reading the paper.
The beautiful people. It's all
relative. What did he wear last night? Like, what did he dress up like?
All black. Dark.
What a freak.
Very dark colors.
Color of his eyes.
Man, if this doesn't take you back to the fall of 96, I don't know what does. Where's Nick Carter?
Yes.
Where's Nick Carter spinning this record?
Yeah.
If he played this, I was not present for it. We did not make him for the whole show.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Oh, he didn't play this?
Well, I'm sure he did, but we weren't there.
Oh, why?
I transported myself full on back to when I used to go to a lot of shows, which is, for the most part, once you see about 30 minutes, I got this, we're good. 45,
yeah.
About 45 minutes.
Oh, so you don't stay for the whole thing?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Very rarely. When you and I went to The Who, even The Who, the greatest rock and roll band of all time, we timed it so we were walking out during the last song.
Yeah, but we knew what the last song was, able to time it perfectly. We hit the top of the steps and we're walking through the door into the concourse,
yes,
as the final song was ending.
As the refrain of Won't Get Fooled Again is
right.
Echoing through the halls of the garden.
We still beat everybody out of there.
That's though. Right. Yeah, well, we knew the set list. I didn't know the set list last night, but I'm like, all right, we got this.
Yeah. We've seen enough.
Yeah.
All right. So Zoe sat there and watched the Super Bowl three times during his illness.
Yeah. I didn't watch that last play. I didn't
Why?
Need to. Because I
would have watched that one.
I went and picked through because what I wanted to watch was the defense, and that's what I watched.
You watched all 22? Did you watch the NBC feed? What'd you watch?
NBC feed.
Okay. All three times.
All three times.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then
did you watch that on DVR?
Yeah.
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 Xfinity X1.
Yes.
Again, a theme today. We love our good friends at Comcast.
And then they pull up and get that little sports thing where they pull up
the
stats.
That they provide
the
us with, not only as consumers, but at this radio station.
And I go to
Thank
the thing
you.
And I hit that, what the sports app button, and boom, there it is. Okay, what's Brady at this point? Oh, he's, he's actually 7 of 10 on third down. That's pretty good. They got all the stats right there. Boom, pops right up. Pretty cool. This is not a football decision, Malcolm Butler. I'm 100% sure of this. I went back and looked at a lot of the numbers. You know, as far as the percentages, snaps played, snaps tracked, the way he was trending, going back and even peeking at Jacksonville and the amount he played in that game. How are the receivers in that game? They're pretty good, right? So now all of a sudden, we're told that Aguilar, Torrey Smith, and Alshon Jeffrey, and an aging tight end, and Brett Celek, pretty good tight end, and Zach Ertz. Ertz is a good tight end.
Hey, of course he is.
Good tight end. Great, great route runner. We actually talked to Patrick Chung at the Super Bowl, I think last year. It talked about his return to New England. And what did he learn from his first stint here? And what was he going to be as a player? What was his role going to be? And what was Bill going to foresee him doing? And what was he going to mold him into? And how he embraced sort of playing in the box now. Let me ask you two this question. How do you think Patrick Chung's year went down in the box? When I say down in the box, you know, sniffing around the mic, Sam Backer area.
Decent.
You know, pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Decent.
He became your best safety cover guy, correct? Right?
Sure.
Okay. He in essence morphed into what we would call, and I know a lot of people like to call it the star nickel, meaning you're down in there and it's kind of that extra DB and they like to go big nickel, and that brings him down and tight. You're usually pouncing on a tight end or the inside slot guy, and you're the main guy that's gonna initiate all communication as far as, okay, if we got stack, if we got bunch, everything starts with me, guy. Here's a go. And it's all Pat. And it was early in the year where it was Stephon Gilmore who couldn't really communicate or understand those type of calls. But he got better as the year went on. Gilmore had a good game, guys. Yeah. Gilmore played well in this game, which gives me excitement moving forward here, because who are you going to bring in to play opposite him? We'll get to all that. That's what's going to be fun.
So where was the breakdown? Was it in? It was. If it wasn't in coverage,
it was
between
Pat's position.
Gilmore,
Pat wasn't playing his position. You put Jordan Richards, number 37, who I think is your worst defensive back on the entire roster. Well, I'd put him down below Jonathan Batamosi. No disrespect to him. I watch a lot of football. I know safeties that can cover and can't. I sit there perplexed at the angles that he takes. He doesn't get better game to game to game to game. I'm not even talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about watching him since preseason. At times, that secondary that you put out there was like a third or fourth preseason game, and you're throwing Gilmore in with the mix just to get a couple reps. That's what it felt like to me. Because Philly didn't do anything exotic. You played against the Pittsburgh Steelers December 17th. One of the best offensive sets in the league. You played against the Atlanta Falcons in a big game early in the year that was sort of the hinge as to whether your season was going to go good or bad at that time. You played against Miami. Say what you want against Miami, guys. Their skill set's pretty good when you match them up across the board and take it for what it's worth down the line. And what's the third down back? All of a sudden, the Philadelphia Eagles presented one of the most challenging offensive sets. Hey, there was no motion. They don't do what you do. It's not McDaniels where they go regular. All of a sudden, bam, at the snap, you're empty. You motion out the fullback. No, they line up, say, here we are. And what you do is you take 37 and you bring him down in the middle of the field. And he's your key cover guy, the star defender in key third down situations. That is an absolute mind-boggling head scratcher for me. That's question number one to anybody that's sitting there in that Detroit Free Press room. Matt Patricia, what were you doing Sunday? How did that not happen during your press conference? You play a guy 97% of the time. He starts 17 games. He plays the entire AFC Championship game. And all of a sudden, he's not good enough to play 2 weeks later against the receiver set that's really not par with what you've played against. No offense, Philadelphia Eagles. They played a fantastic game. They executed. They kicked your ass. The execution and their counter for everything that you had. Said, okay, you're going to bring Jordan Richards down, and that's what it's going to be. We're going to bring that formation back. We're going to run rub route after rub route after rub route because he can't communicate with the outside defender. He's going to take it upon himself to charge the line and put himself out of position, and we got his ass. So, we got his ass every single time.
What you're saying is, regardless of reason for Malcolm Butler, regardless whether it was warranted or not, they couldn't afford to play without him.
You can't convince me, for the amount of snaps that offense had for Philly, that defense that they put out there was better without Malcolm Butler. You can't do it. You can't do it in a football room with me. You can't. Because if you can, then I don't know football. It's sad because you had that game. Because then I go through and I fast forward, and I knew the offense. Great game he called. Great game. They miss stuff? Yeah. They lay some points out there. They leave them? Yeah. They didn't execute on special teams? Yeah. You had 12 points at the half. Should have had freaking 20. But you still threw for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns. No pick. Come on. You let one slide, man. I was on the sidelines in Indy. You know, when you lost to the Giants. When, tell you what, they made a play, man. Manningham made the catch of his life. Eli Manning made the throw of his life. I was there in Arizona, the undefeated year. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. This, and I know the undefeated season was by far the worst loss, because you lost, you know, eternity. You would have been the best ever. So that's the worst loss. This one is second to me. This is worse than Jets divisional. This is because you got Tom versus time, and he outplayed time. And he was phenomenal in this game. This may have been, I don't want to say better than Brady's Super Bowl last year, because Brady played like dog crap for a half last year. He didn't play for like dog crap for a half this year. Brady threw pick six last year. You could say, well, he fumbled at the end. Yeah. But go back and watch that play. They're only rushing 4. The guy gets in, knocks the ball out. Brady's sliding up because, you know what? He's watching Amendola work up. There is a cavern in the middle of that field. They would have picked up 30 yards on that play if it's blocked. Philly had no answer for what you were doing on offense, the way you had no answer for what they were doing on offense. But to not warrant three snaps? Well, maybe, okay, sick, whatever. Get out there for a series. Okay, it's not working. Get the hell out of there. You didn't play one defensive snap. Not a single. Not a single. Stick him on Hurts in the middle on third and seven. See what happens. I mean, he ain't going to get shook and get taken for 17. I can tell you that. Jesus. Like, all of a sudden, these are the three best slant runners in the world. And, well, Malcolm doesn't really defend the slant well. See what he did in Super Bowl 49? He jumped the hell out of that one. Picked that one off. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to watch. It gets harder. You get back and you say, okay, I accept it. You get your ass beat. You get your ass beat on one side of the ball. You competed. I respect the way they competed. But it really, this one, this is a bad loss. It's a bad loss. This may end up retooling a lot of things you do on one side of the ball.
617-779-0985. Let's get to some of your calls. Reaction to Zoe's thoughts on Super Bowl 52.
Go back and watch it.
He went back and watched it three times. He's a masochist.
Like, I can't believe
that's
it.
That's what he did.
Like, this ain't happening.
We got open lines. We'll grab your calls. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
10:37, Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe is back from his illness. Looks good. You look good. Like you're moving well. Yeah? Feeling good?
Feel great.
Oh, good.
Look at that. Loaded lines on football.
Yeah, let's go to the phone. 617-779-0985.
Can't get through. Keep calling.
Where's Hardy, by the way? Hardy, can we get him back in here?
Morning, Hardy. We're good.
We have a call on the line specifically for Hardy. So
we'll hold that.
We'll hold Dave for just a moment. In the meantime, we'll go to Doug in Boston. Doug.
Doug.
How are you? This is Doug Gottlieb. I heard that you guys aren't doing the CBS Sports Minute anymore, so I'd like to do my own, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I don't know if you realize, but today's a very special day in college basketball history. It's actually the day of the 1973 that Artie the Fighting Artichoke became the mascot of Scottsdale Community College in a great game against Kent State. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Now, here's
that was Doug Gottlieb. Thank you, Doug. Thanks, Doug.
Remember the 98.5. Remember that zinger, that sports, how we'd make fun of it?
That
pull
was
that
long
thing back
before
out.
The CBS Sports Minute.
We are, one day we'll be, hey, remember that CBS Sports Minute thing?
Yeah.
Now, the CBS Sports Minute. Here, random non-fact of the day that you don't need in your life.
When you say Artie the Artichoke?
Artie the Artichoke.
Adam and Lowell. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I've been like, stewing about this game since it happened. And the only thing I can come back to is if Butler plays in that game, one, there's no way he can hurt us. And two, if he plays, that's a field goal game. Do I think we win? I have my doubts, but it's definitely a field goal game rather than 8 points. And on top of that, Belichick with this move, it's arrogance on Parcells' level. He looked at the rest of his locker room dead in the eyes when he did that and said, you guys aren't the show. I'm the whole show here. You guys would suck without me. That's what he said to his locker room.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the arrogance of that, of me and my way of doing things will win. I think it was arrogance in the sense that he thought his team was good enough to do it without the guy. That's what
but,
I think.
But he
I mean, that's not necessarily,
not
that's
put him
not,
in.
That's not necessarily a bad thing that he had the confidence. He felt confident that his team was good enough to go into that game and win without Butler. My complaint would be that at some point during that game, that confidence should have eroded.
You cut that lead 15 to 12. The momentum had swung, and there was that third down where they were backed up on their own 40. You had them, and they ran that rubber out and went for 50. And they end up scoring and taking it to 22 to 12. At that point, changes at halftime, Butler's in. We can't put Jordan Richards back in this football game. That was evident to me at that point. I thought that's really where that game became a fight to where this might not be winnable. When they hit that little swing pass right up that sideline, at that horrific angle he took,
mm-hmm.
You don't put guys in that position that haven't repped that. That's not fair to him. Like, you exposed him.
Victorio and Franklin on the Super Bowl. Victorio.
Hi. Listen, hey. I think they lost this game is when Philadelphia took out Brandon Cooks on that blindsided, vicious hit. And it looked like a spear, but the bottom line.
Yeah, you might have thrown for 700 yards if he didn't, if he was still in the game. I mean,
Yeah, but Tom Brady was missing a wide receiver.
He was, but he still threw for over 500 yards, and they still had over 600 yards of offense, and they did not slow down throwing the football after he exited the game.
He almost got better because he could look to his guys.
And if you really want to be upset with somebody about that hit, I'd be upset with Brandon Cooks first and foremost.
Yeah, Troy Brown was in here earlier today. Like, one of the smartest guys as far as catching it, understanding spacing. And, you know, I don't know the guy.
He's been complaining about Cooks all year.
I don't know the guy behind me, and I can't see him, but I know somebody's coming, and I better catch it and get down. Troy was so good at catching and getting under hits and saving himself. And yeah, he would take hits in this, you know, when you see Amendola do it. But Amendola's even gotten better as far as getting the ball and getting down. You know, Edelman's learned that. Welker. At some point, Cooks has got to be able to absorb that, or you're not going to be in this league long.
Total lack of
awareness. It's one thing to have a ton of speed, but it's like you catch it and then boom, chop the head and then where are we going? You know, boom. So.
Troy in Dorchester. Hi, Troy.
My man.
How you, guys doing today?
What's up?
So you guys said earlier to start this that that might have been something that changes the way that we play defense going forward.
Yes.
I think Bill does need to kind of put some of that pride aside and get some players, get some guys, and let those guys play, whether it be a little bit of an attitude, whether it be missing a curfew. You know, I understand the Patriot way is how they do things, but that defense for too many years.
He didn't miss a curfew.
I'm speculating. Who knows what he did? I'm hoping
he took
a swing at somebody. I'm hoping that he did something really, really nasty.
To
warrant sitting out. I don't think Bill made a football decision.
I agree with you. That's my point, Troy.
Yeah. So like, but that needs to change. He needs to kind of take that with a grain of salt. When you have a prime time athlete like Malcolm Butler, that could have changed the complexion of that game.
And it's too standard. It's too standard. You know what I'm saying? It's too standard to where they had it ready to go. He and Patricia, meaning Bill and Patricia after the game. Yeah, it's packages. It's packages. We're working on certain packages. It's too structured. It's too much of the same answer.
You know, I was thinking.
It's like you do fourth. Yeah. You go to a club and you jump off a stage and then you go to a deposition. And there's six guys in a car. We had four drinks. You know, we all had only four drinks. No more. That's it. Everybody had four. Four is the number. Everybody got it? Okay. Got it. It's too scripted. Too scripted. Did you get a little something different from him? You know what I mean? It's too, everybody's on one here. We got the same message. We're putting it out. It's ready to go. Something happened. Sorry. And I'm not putting it on Butler Carlton, you little freak. Because I like the player. I love the player. Like, he plays hard.
Can I ask you a question? I've been thinking about this. After watching the two Bills going back a few weeks, and Lawrence Taylor in there talking about how his career fell apart after Parcells and Belichick left the Giants. Do you remember that part? Do you remember LT talking about that? Saying those guys were the guys that could kind of keep me in line, could kind of, you know, keep me motivated,
keep
me engaged. They could push my buttons.
It was the best thing about Bill Parcells, he knew how to motivate 53 different guys of 53 different backgrounds.
Let me ask you a question about Lawrence Taylor. Do you think he could play football for the New England Patriots in 2017?
No. I don't know, because he's the greatest that ever played that position.
I know he is.
See, that's...
I know that you make exceptions for certain players.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if Lawrence Taylor would be allowed to play and continue his career with the New England Patriots in 2017, assuming, you know, again, that this team existed 25 years
ago. Right, well, Gronkowski is the greatest to ever play his position, and I think he's learned how to adapt and play here. He's behaved. Like, they broke him.
Do you think Lawrence Taylor ever missed curfews?
I think he's missed half times, buddy.
Here's what happened.
I think he's missed buses.
Between, you know, Belichick got to the Giants in 1979. Was there until, what was last year there, 90?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's just some of the things that happened with Lawrence Taylor. And again, Malcolm Butler's not Lawrence Taylor.
Well, no.
I just asked this question because I wonder if at some point, to kind of follow up on what Troy said, this team is going to have to deal with some level of...
Yeah.
issue with players to get a better quality player.
But see, you had a guy that was a former Jersey guy, was a sort of a tough guy, and Bill Parcells, that was the actual head coach, the new guys in Jersey and in the little bars.
Do you want
the list
of infractions?
You know what I'm saying? And
February 86.
Bill Parcells is telling Bill Belichick that time, you're the defensive coordinator, you listen to me, you play this guy.
This list is incredible.
Find a way to play.
Of all the stuff that Lawrence Taylor had happen while Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells were his coach, and you want to, let's assume the worst, you know, late curfew, whatever else was going on, concerts, recreational usage of whatever, you know, pushing and shoving. You can assume the absolute worst, and then it is laughable compared to somebody like Lawrence Taylor. You know, we'll go over that list coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, boy.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's a list of, I guess you could call them infractions, something that might land you on the wrong side of team rules for LT. 1986, February 14th, 1986, coming up on an anniversary here. LT went into drug rehab in Houston, but left within a week after deciding playing golf was a better alternative. Decided that playing golf was going to be more fun than going to drug rehab.
I remember
he left rehab in less than a week.
I remember riding in a car once in Bledsoe. We got pulled over, and it was like, we're going like 89 miles an hour. We're like, man, badasses. This is like renegade stuff.
March of 86, a month later, he admitted publicly for the first time that he had received assistance for substance abuse.
No.
In September of 87, his autobiography came out, LT Living on the Edge. In it, he admitted to smoking crack up to three times a week and detailed how he beat the NFL's drug testing program.
Did Aussie ever tell you some stuff in postgame? You ever have like boring postgames where
No, not on the stories? Air.
Okay.
The book said, Taylor claimed in the book that he first used cocaine in October of 82 and continued through the 85 season, saying he failed a drug test in May of 85.
No.
August of 88, he was suspended for the first four games of the season for his second positive test.
Wow. See, in this...
March of 89, he fell asleep behind the wheel.
That's nothing. Everybody falls asleep.
While parked on the shoulder of the Garden State Parkway, he was acquitted of DUI charges a couple of months later. February 91, okay, this is after Bill had left, but he was arrested on criminal property damage charges after hitting a Honolulu taxi with a metal pipe after a traffic accident. The charges were later dropped.
Or even get a pipe. I'm going to go Lowe's, honey. I'm going to get a 3-foot pipe to carry around in my car just in case.
But here's the thing, okay? And again,
This is like Jersey, man.
I'm not comparing Lawrence Taylor to Malcolm Butler. That would be insanity.
Right.
All I'm saying is, at some point, Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick said, you know what? This guy's an idiot,
right?
But he's too good, and we need to win.
Right.
And we're going to put the winning first.
And that's Parcells. Parcells, that tough Jersey guy. Like, hey.
Right.
Give me your crabs. Get them in there. Get them going. All right? Get them going. There had to be mornings where they came in and Bill would come in at the front of meetings, meaning Parcells. He'd have his head down. He'd probably look up. He's like, is he here? Is he here? Whew, thank God. LT's here. Okay, let's go. Let's start this meeting. It's kind of the way he had to do it then. And see, the funny thing with him testing positive here, that means he had to be like in the program. Because you get tested one time a year for street drugs. They can only test you one time in the NFL. Once you pass, you're good.
But if you fail.
But if you fail.
You're in the program.
Yeah. You know. Wow, even then. Whew, man.
But they put a jackass.
He could play.
In LT on the field because the guy could play and you could help them win.
You couldn't block him. You could not block him. Go watch some of those old films.
And they probably felt that he wasn't a problem to the rest of the team. He didn't have issues with guys, wasn't he? Usually, he was pretty well liked.
No,
by his
and
teammates,
I think
right.
No, and I think they let Pepper and guys like Carl Banks, Harry Carson, they would police Lawrence, Jim Burton. Those guys would get him going, and that's part of this whole, you know, why I like guys like McCourty and Harmon. I know people, you know, on them and that.
Did they do it?
No, but
here's my question: did they police it?
What I'm saying.
Because they should have. Some of that is on
players,
too.
What went on that they knew that they didn't help that player get through it? That's kind of what we're getting to here, you know? You had to know. You had to know. Why is Brady responding the way he responded to the post on Instagram? Love you, Malcolm. Great player, great teammate. You're a captain, too. What's going on?
I don't think he was a problem, is my point.
I am not saying he's a problem, because I think that's the guy that, man, I watch the games. I call the games. I see who gives effort. That kid doesn't take plays off.
Dave and Franklin's been hanging on. Hey, Dave.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, go ahead.
How you doing, Dave?
Welcome back, Zoe.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Manson show last night. Yeah. And,
you sound like
Hardy must have been at the wrong show.
Why?
Because it was insane. Tons of mosh pits, crowd surfing.
Where are you at?
He did play Beautiful People. He came out in an encore with Beautiful People.
Yeah, I was long gone.
But the craziest thing about the show, he was spitting into the crowd. Ew. And people were like catching it throughout the show.
That's good for the flu.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what I saw from my vantage point, I did not see tons of moshing or crowd surfing. I saw like one or two guys get up.
Concert.
No, maybe we have different ideas of what a crazy mosh pit looks like. To me, a crazy mosh pit is Ministry, Lollapalooza, 1992, a circle of limbs and blood and skulls and humanity, Mountain
Shape
View,
heads.
California, absolute chaos. I mean, it was an inferno, a cyclone of injuries and
mosh pit
body
videos?
Parts. And just, I mean, a SWAT team showed up, looked at it, shook their heads and walked away, said, nope, let these savages deal with themselves. That's a mosh pit. A bunch of 40-year-old white dudes pushing up against each other in front of the stage at the House of Blues in Boston. No, not a crazy mosh pit. Sorry. It didn't really impress me as something that I'd say, oh, the humanity of it all. No, it didn't really affect me on that level.
Dave, thanks for the call.
Crazy mosh pit.
Oh, look at these, man. I just Googled like crazy mosh pit videos.
Yeah, now we've lost so for the next 4 hours.
Right.
We've got Dan Shaughnessy coming up.
Last night.
That's, yes. That's a crazy mosh pit. Thank you, Zoe.
Before we get to Shaughnessy and before we get to headlines, Paulie's in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, what's happening,
Paulie? Hey,
what's up?
I'm glad to hear you're feeling better, Zoe.
Thanks, Paulie.
Believe me, brother. And, man, I tell you, we are all ears out here this morning when you decided you were going to step up, step in with them, lay it down. You're holding the hammer today, brother. You let it down, we all understand hearing you perfectly. And my take on all this is that he must have stepped up on somebody within the last couple of weeks. And the three candidates are either the coach, his the defensive coordinator, or his position coach. And I think I'll put my money on Steve. He must have got into it with Steve. Maybe he got caught or something. Maybe Steve's been trying to, you know, help him out, hold his hand all this year, try to get him through with the other players, get him through. You know, there's some tougher times that he's had understanding things and the way things are run around.
I'm not going to name coaches. I mean, that's not fair to do there, to even think it's that personal, you know, so that's not fair either. But this is what you do when you don't get information.
I'm speculating. I'm just throwing something out there. I'm not saying that's going to happen, okay?
Be careful, yeah.
Now, but that move to the whole secondary in a whack and it created a general distraction.
It put people out of position, Paulie, is what it did.
Unit. They weren't into the game. Their heads were not into the game. And Gronkowski speaks to the entire team. If you read between the lines, he says, hey, you know, so he said, we put all this work in. You know, he might say, the only thing you've got to say was, and the coach went ahead and flushed it down the drain for something that was going on with Malcolm that probably could have been overlooked. That's been overlooked all year. I say it should have been overlooked at this point. Maybe Malcolm turned the volume up on whatever he was doing, his attitude, his habits, or whatever it was. He did something.
You're holding the whole
damn team hostage. You're punishing the whole team, particularly that defensive unit. Everybody, you know?
You heard everybody. Bury it. You got to bury it for one day.
Okay.
One night.
So
bury it for one night and then send him packing and say,
yep,
you're not a Patriot anymore.
Yep. And you hold that trophy up. No days off. You have another parade and we go out and you get another corner.
You can still maintain order by turning around and saying, that guy's never playing another snap here again, guys. You act like him, you ain't going to be a part of this team. But you bury that thing for one day, one night. Win the damn game. You bury it.
He's telling you, I he put it in print. Player. I was not late.
I'm saying no, whatever your issues were. Even if you're even if it's just your personal feelings about the guy.
Right.
That he's acted like a jerk all year and that he's upset about his contract.
What did he do to start every snap 2 weeks prior in an AFC title game?
Bury your personal pride and your personal feelings for one night.
Do you understand that?
For the benefit of you and everybody else with the organization. Bury it. And then move on.
On offense, you have the quarterback. I think that is the most obvious important position. On defense, the other two positions that start with your defense are a pass rusher and a corner. Those are two vital things that you need to have to play in this league. And they had it. And he was good enough to start 2 weeks prior. And then all of a sudden, he's not going to play? He was good enough to start in a game to get you there against a better wide receiver set. It's a head scratcher.
All right, we're supposed to have Dan Shaughnessy joining us from spring training in about 90 seconds. All I know is that Alex Cora is holding his first press conference right now.
Lecture.
So let's see if we get Shaughnessy or not. That'll be fun. Like if he just like
let's see if Cora names names.
I blow
to
that
him,
off.
Right? See if Cora like gives name recognition.
We'll see. You know, we'll see what Cora does. But Shaughnessy maybe coming up next.